Welcome back to Cairo Nights. On the line right now is everybody's favorite Stacey Jo Rost. Stacey Jo Rost, a.k.a.
Me. You made the drop. Me.
There were so many good ones. There were so many good ones to pick from. So I've been using it the entire show. So whenever everybody says
so
anything,
good.
I go,
me.
Because it's all... It's almost like really passive aggressive. So when someone says something that I don't like, I just go,
me. And I do a thumbs up when I do it.
Nice. Stacey Jo Rost, we're going to be talking about patriotism because
there are
many thoughts about patriots. And you had a really interesting thought the other day, which is like, what is the actual definition of an American patriot? And the frame by which we will look at this, Stacey Jo Rost, is the women's soccer team, which was bumped out of contention? What's the sports
contention
phrase?
Yeah.
They were bumped out of contention, and they lost to Canada, which makes me deeply upset.
And that gets me. That really grinds my gears.
And everyone is saying, if you go online, I'm just going to pick a couple of these for you. But this is from Breitbart. It says, the internet celebrates the collapse of the left's woke Olympic icons. And if you can guess, Stacey Jo Rost, who do you think is the picture that they have chosen? What Olympic athlete is too woke for them?
Megan Rapinoe.
Megan Rapinoe, a.k.a. Megan Rapinoe. So, a lot of people are saying that this has this is kind of what they deserve, if you will, that the U.S. women's soccer team deserved this loss because they, at one point in time, decided to take a knee for I think it was the first game or something versus Sweden like that. They took a knee, and everybody is saying, this is an example, this is from Nick Adams. He said, I support watching Megan Rapinoe lose. They kneeled. They should not represent America. Clay Travis said the United U.S. women's soccer team just lost to Canada, and many enjoyed their loss. In 2015, the U.S. women were one of the most popular teams in American history. What happened? Woke sports. Woke sports from Clay Travis, who, by the way, Clay Travis took over for the Rush Limbaugh show. And when I listen to it now, no shade on Clay Travis and that other guy who are doing it, but it's lacking. You know, there's something, Stacey Jo, you have it, I have it, Shane has it, everybody who works at Cairo has it, little something called presence, little something called the X Factor. A bad radio show is where you sit there, so it's Clay Travis, and I forget who's his co-host.
That's his lack of presence. You're like, I don't even know who it is.
It's Clay Travis and Buck Sexton. And basically the whole show goes like this. All right. So they start and the Rush Limbaugh theme comes on. Beep, boop. And then Clay Travis goes, well, you know, Buck, I was thinking the other day about what's going on with these leftists. You got Lori Lightfoot going to Lollapalooza. What's that have to say about coronavirus? And then Clay Travis goes, well, Buck Sexton, I don't know, but the Democrats down there in Mississippi teaching them kids that critical race theory, pretty crazy, right? And then they go to a phone call and they don't have... I don't feel like they say anything for 3 hours outside of Democrat bad, which is just bad radio. But Stacey Jo Rost, more importantly, you have many thoughts on patriotism, Megan Rapinoe, and right-wing hacks. So please do tell. Do you think that Megan Rapinoe is a patriot for expressing the freedom of speech that she did when she decided to take the knee?
Well, yeah. I mean, in my mind, the... initial reason for Colin Kaepernick's protest, so I'm tracing it back to him, since in my mind that was kind of the earliest form of this, was always in an effort to make the country better and make the experience of many Americans a better and more just one, or at least call attention to what many Americans were going through. And to Colin Kaepernick, it was many Black Americans suffering from police brutality at a greater level than white counterparts.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? Like I know people always point to just like basic numbers, but his point was it disproportionately affects Black Americans. So I think that speaking up for or from a portion of the population, like that's still America calling to, you know, improve itself and be better. And I think that what's really unfortunate is it feels like what's happened is that you can't be critical of your country or want your country to be better. You know what I mean? Like, I love the basis of the ideals that our country has. Like, when I was in college, I read a ton of constitutional law cases,
right,
which doesn't really speak to this at all, but does speak to the basic principles being pretty good ones, right? It's not wrong to call out when those aren't being enforced equally, or when they are being used against people. And I feel like what that's become is being un-American. And I hate that. I hate that there's no possible way to say this should be better without someone saying, if you don't like it, then get out. And it's like, but don't you want to live in a great country?
Right.
Like, don't you want to live in a great country? And isn't it possible? Isn't it within the realm of possibility that your experience as an American is not the same as someone else's? And that if you have a great experience as an American, it is possible that your fellow American may not have the same experience. And because of the principles our country is built on, should be due that experience.
I was watching some hardcore Christian talking points the other day. I won't give the outlet kind of any credit right here, but Stacey Joe, as you know, I come from a religious background, so I'm kind of scrolling through my YouTube feed, and I see one that says, like, Pastor Calls Out Woke Agenda, okay? I click on it. It's about a 40-minute lecture by a very Christian man who is talking to a quote-unquote reformed sodomite and a quote-unquote reformed feminist. So he's talking to a gay man and a very liberal woman. But now they have reformed themselves and they're deeply Christian, according to this video, right? And they are talking about what wokeism actually is. And their version of America is America that does not exist. So in their mind, America is this ungodly nation filled with nothing but deplorable human beings who are all kind of working their way through Satan's cat's cradle. And that eventually what will happen, is that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will rise from the grave and he will smote everyone except for true American Christian patriots.
Is Jesus going to rise from the grave with an Old Navy American flag t-shirt? Because that, I feel like, is how this is being pitched right now.
He's actually going to rise. He's going to be Omaha, Nebraska. He's going to rise up right there, not in Palestine. He's going to come up right in the center of the country, maybe exactly Tuscaloosa, right. Alabama. We don't know. He's going to rise on up and he's going, hey, come on, y'all. Let's go to Chick-fil-A. Listen to some Clay Travis and some Buck Sexton on the way. But
exactly how I imagine Jesus Christ in my head.
Their version of America and their version of Christianity is perverse. And the way that they see America becoming better, at least this pastor and the 10,000 people who watch this video, the way that he sees America getting better basically runs along these lines. Are you ready? It's pretty insane.
Okay.
One, reinstate President Trump as the rightful president.
Okay. All right.
Number one, that's the first step, okay? Two, you have to bring back morality laws. So you make it a crime to be gay. You make it a crime to be lesbian.
Oh.
You make it a crime.
Hey.
Yeah.
So now we're doing some real cool dictator stuff.
Yeah. And he goes, and you got to institute that at the federal level.
Yeah.
So all the communists in California.
Always thought, like, you know how we could be a better country? Be more like Russia. Like, that's how to be more American.
I know. It's so funny. It's like basically these people want to be like Russia so bad. Number three is that obviously you repeal Roe v. Wade and you make abortion an offense that is punishable by murder to both the mother and the abortionist, as they like to say.
Got it. Okay, very Handmaid's Tale. I see Hulu having its take in here. I see Hulu has its hands in this.
And then number four is that you mandate Christian prayer in all schools for all students, regardless of their religious background.
Okay, this is a radical state.
Right.
Like, is this...
Right.
Look, I... Okay. Again, I don't know how people can hear it. And I'm a Christian. I was raised a Christian.
Sure.
I don't know how people can hear this and not recognize how oppressive that would be to so many people.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole time I was watching it, Stacey Jo, I just kept listening to it and I was like,
meat.
I was like,
meat, meat,
meat, bro, but you're not going to get it. You know, and the sad thing about it is that this guy and his quote unquote reformed sodomite and his quote unquote reformed feminist, there was no discussion there. It was simply, we can't have our utopia, our beautiful patriotic utopia, until we accomplish all these things. And it was really sad. It was sad to me to watch a guy talking about Jesus, talking about the teachings of Christ, and talking about all these wonderful, nice things in the world, and using them in this evil, awful way. Now, I say that to say this, Stacey Jo Ross. I think people do the same thing with America, where they fetishize America and they make the idea of what it means to be an American a religious orthodoxy. And if you deviate from that religious orthodoxy in any way, shape, or form, yes, you are un-American. So, for example, this is from Wayne Dupree. I know who you don't know who this is. I barely know who this is. But he said, Little Miss Purple Hair and her team of woke warriors fell flat on their faces. Maybe it would have been smarter for Team USA to focus more on the actual sport of soccer than the sport of, quote, liberal wokeness. Which, by the way, Stacey Jo Ross, anybody who says wokeness right now in the way that this guy is saying it, they probably don't know what it means to be woke. And also, that's such a kind of a dead phrase at this point in time. It's very, like, 2018. I don't know if I would classify Megan Rapinoe, a.k.a. Megan Rapinoe, I don't know if I would classify her as being quote-unquote woke. I might.
Well, it's now turned into like signaling, right? You're no longer, so you don't have to know what it means. What I'm doing is, if I'm this person, I'm signaling to you that this person's the enemy.
Right. And the thing that I thought is does Megan Rapinoe, or a.k.a. Megan Rapinoe, does she not represent the United States? And I would argue to anybody, any flag-waving conservative out there, I would say with 100% certainty, she most certainly does. She most certainly does represent my country. Now, I may disagree with Megan Rapinoe, a.k.a. Rapinoe, on a slew of issues. However, we are both American citizens, and I just believe fundamentally that she appreciates my country as much as I do. She may think about it in different ways.
Right.
She may want to take a knee at some sporting event, whatever that might mean. But it makes no difference to me if she was to do that, or if Coach Kennedy decides to take a knee in prayer at some high school game. No, any of these symbols mean nothing to me. Because we're all Americans, right? We're all kind of unified in that way. And when people try to apply that religious orthodoxy and say the only way to be American is to fit in this little box, I think it's just not something that's possible.
Well, and it seems like trying to create a homogenous version of what, patriotism is kind of goes against, like I said, the principles of America in the first place, the principles of the country in the first place. Right. I mean, I know that you point to that example of, the very religious state that person was proposing, that religious utopia. That's actually it could be a mirror image of an otherwise oppressive dictatorship, and that rights for certain people are eliminated, that there are extreme punishments for people, which, by the way, cruel and unusual punishment is already, something that you should be protected against.
Right.
These are things that I feel like by trying to make patriotism something everyone must do the right way, it goes against everything that it should mean to love your country, or everything it should mean to represent America.
Yeah. Yeah, it really does. And as a matter of fact, many of these people who call themselves right wingers are actually engaging in what I would consider to be like anti-America rhetoric. Yeah. And so just as a couple of examples, you've got Dinesh D'Souza, who is just totally off his rocker at this point in time. But he says the Canadians aren't American, but neither are they anti-American. That's why we're cheering the defeat of the U.S. women's soccer squad. Go Canada. Yeah, dude. Yeah, this is how extreme these people are. And this is why when people come to me and they're like, oh, Jack Stein, you're such a conservative, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, okay, but I have nothing in common with 75% to 90% of these people. Not a single thing. How is it that I'm the only person that's doing right-wing politics right in the United States at this point in time? I feel like I'm the only human being, Stacey Jo Rost, in the world. Where I'm like, hey, you guys, let's not be total jerks all the time, right? And then everyone's like, okay, great. Let me just go tweet something really quick. And then Dinesh D'Souza runs into the bathroom and he's like, the Canadians aren't American, but neither are they anti-American. That's why we're cheering their defeat of the U.S. women's soccer squad. Go Canada.
Imagine hearing that someone would say, it is truly my patriotic duty to cheer against my national team.
I know. It's so sad. Greg Kelly tweeted out. He says the women's soccer team really blew it again, losing to Canada. Probably sore knees from all the kneeling.
Oh, my God.
It's like,
I appreciate his effort at like what would otherwise be a dad joke. Like, you know what,
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, that's pretty much a dad joke.
I see where he's trying to go with it.
And then...
God, this is so disappointing.
Someone took a picture of Megan Rapinoe, aka Megan Rapinoe, and it's.
I appreciate that this has kept going.
It's not very flattering, and this is from Ann Coulter. It said, "The happiest people on planet Earth today. I'm guessing not the shareholders of Victoria's Secret, where Megan Rapinoe will now have tons of free time to rep the brand." This is like just hateful, 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 hateful stuff. So, Stacey Jo, in the last minute that we have, how do we fix the United States, Stacey Jo Rost?
I feel like we need to understand what makes the United States a really unique democracy in principle. To understand that you can critique your country, want your country to be better in an effort to be a safe and fair place for all Americans. And that is why I am running for Miss USA. And with my platform, I'm going to remind everyone what it really means to be an American. I think I might be too old for the competition.
Stacey.
Like, they might cut it off at 25, but that's another thing I'd like to argue against. Okay, I'm done.
Stacey, you're going to be running for Miss USA.
I don't know. I was just spitballing, okay. Jack. I was spitballing. Yeah. I was just going with it.
Okay, well, I mean...
It felt right in the moment.
Yeah, I know it did, Stacey, but, you know, I just... Not to be like... you know, too mean or whatever, but I feel like, you know, maybe that was a little
meat.
If we think about,
you know, I'm just saying, meat. What if we have a Miss USA or Miss Universe where it's votes, you know what I mean? Instead of actually being capable of winning on your own principles. Like, I just feel like that would maybe be cool.
I'd vote for you,
Stacey. What do you think about that?
I'd vote for you.
Thank you so much.
Speaking of vote for you, by the way, we have to take a really quick break. When we get back, you can literally ask us anything. 98973 State Roofing text line. Ask us any question that's on your mind about any topic whatsoever. 98973 State Roofing text line. We'll be right back after this. Lisa Brooks, I got in trouble with Donna at the front desk.
What did you do?
No, so Donna sent this email. It says, okay, don't you dare stick Lisa with a trite nickname like Lucky Lisa or Lovely Lisa or one of those options you were spinning off. She is too delightful to have one of those flat monikers.
Wow, thanks, Donna.
Look at her GTKY, which is a company thing that we do where it's getting to know you. I submitted mine. I think they threw it away because I gave them mine. And everybody's got one except for your boy, Jack Stein.
Oh.
Everybody's had one except for me. It says she loves music and enjoys singing. Mm-hmm. Why not something musical related? She loves travel and new experiences. What about a travel-related word? And she is practical, which isn't given enough credit. You could do a harmony or joy or practical in a different language. You could play off her working nights and call her Moonlight Brooks, reminiscent of Field of Dreams, I realize, but still better than Lucky Lisa. How about Sunshine or Starshine? And he says, don't make me grumpy with your choice. Now, I was thinking, because I looked at your getting to know you from the spotlight of the week. Again, I have not had one, but Lisa gets one. Everybody gets one, apparently. I even included a picture of my dog in the company newsletter, and I have yet to have my image with my Pomeranian and all my answers to the fun questions for everybody to read. But I was thinking Boogie Woogie Lisa Brooks. So
that's a possibility. Okay, you're going to have to explain that one, though.
Yeah, well, because it's you said, and you're getting to know you. You said when my sisters and I do a video chat, one of us says 5, 6, 7, 8, and all three of us break into Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy in perfect 3-part harmony in the same.
It's true. It's true. We do.
That's amazing. Yep, yep. That is absolutely amazing. So election results are in. Lisa Brooks. They're not exactly the most exciting. I'm disappointed that Good Space Guy wasn't even, I mean, I was really pulling for Good Space Guy.
You got 2.96%.
One can dream. One can dream.
I don't know how many different races he has run for, but it's always fun to see what Good Space Guy is running for next. You know, I don't know if the election commissioner is next or water commissioner, but Good Space Guy always has an interesting opportunity in front of him.
So I was reading a little bit about him before we get all these questions, including 425. Question. It says political positions. Good Space Guy's political positions generally revolve around his support for space exploration and space colonization. Good Space Guy also calls for population control through a birth fee. So he is a fascist. He also describes himself as, quote, pro-choice on almost everything. Good Space opposes the state minimum wage as it destroys jobs. So politically, all over the place. I can't imagine why he only got 2% of the...
it's almost 3%, actually. 2.96%.
Yeah, so. I was looking at that. It's close to like 3,000 people. Yeah. It's actually pretty amazing. And then here... Is that race... Have we had more numbers for Ann Davison and Pete Holmes? Has that flattened out a little bit?
No. There's only... What happens now with the all-mail-in election is you only get one dump of ballots. It comes out at about 8:15, and that already happened. So that's pretty much where we're going to be until tomorrow, I think around 4 o'clock or so when the next group of numbers. But yeah, Ann Davison is ahead right now, but it's like 34.64%. And Pete Holmes, 32.8%. And Nicole Thomas Kennedy, 32.15%. And, you know, the top two are going to run against each other. And this one actually could flip around over the next few days. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens here.
Dow Constantine just blowing out the competition, 53.5%. And also Regan Don, 56.8%. Yeah. And best starts for kids, not so much. The King County Prop 1, it looks like 50.9% approved. So those are the results for you. I kind of feel like Lisa Brooks, the election results, like they came out and I was like, it's time to do the election. And then I called Shane. I said, Shane, we're going to do the election results. And he's like,
Yeah, that's usually my reaction when it comes to stuff like this.
I'm like, Shane, you're the producer of the show. Get me. We need to cut out the commercials right now. We got to go to election results. He's like, no, we don't need to do that. 425, and this is a piece of advice that I will give everybody. 425 says, hey, Jack, and then they say their name, a little advice. I've been on heroin and methamphetamine for 15 years. Besides my family and my user friends, people don't know that I use. I've become very good at it, but I have to be done or I will die. This fentanyl stuff scares me. What was your first step? Well, it doesn't really matter what my first step is, 425. I say this to all drug addicts out there. It matters what you want to do with it. So if I was you and I had been using heroin and methamphetamine for 15 years, I would go to rehab tomorrow. I would start calling people tomorrow, like ASAP, because unfortunately, the drug addict brain kind of works like this. You get super loaded and then you think to yourself, man, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get sober. And you know what? By tomorrow, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go out there and I'm going to call all these phone numbers and I'm finally going to get off the juice. I'm finally going to get off the sauce and then I'm finally going to put my life together and start living my own dream. And then the second that that happens, the second that the drug leaves your system, all of a sudden you're no longer interested in doing it. So one of the things that I did is that I went to a hospital. I don't recommend that everybody do that, but I was kind of at the end of my rope. So for everybody that's out there, my thing is you got to get that momentum almost like a judo flip. You're like a judo person and you have to use your own momentum to say, I got to go to rehab in whatever capacity you can. It doesn't matter to me what rehab it is. It doesn't really matter what kind of clinic it is. You just got to go somewhere where you can be around people who are engaging in helping you get off the sauce. Everybody gets so caught up in the details of it, Lisa Brooks, trying to get sober, trying to get off the juice. Everybody gets so caught up in the where am I going to go and what am I going to do and what about my things and what about my car and what about all this stuff. And the most important thing you can do is just start to do it. And then the rest of it just kind of falls into place. So that is that's my advice on that. Pretty much with anything, right?
It must be frightening. I mean, the fact that 425 reached out and they must be at a place where they really are looking for some help at this point, but they must be scared to death, I would imagine.
Yeah, totally. It is very, very difficult, but it's so much better. And Donna just said that my GTKY was published, and apparently I missed it. So.
Yeah, I've been kind of sitting quiet this whole entire time.
You knew that?
I definitely knew it got posted.
When did it come out?
It was a few weeks ago, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. But my question to Donna is, why haven't I been asked to do one of these forms? I haven't filled out a single one, and I've been here a year. I'm a little upset right now.
But to 425, just to get back on track really quick, you're totally good and you're doing great. And this is pretty much your first step. And in the future, you can tell people, yeah, how did I get sober? Well, I texted this random guy at this radio show who had been sober for like 7 years. And he gave me his answer over the air. And the next day I called a hospital and I went to rehab. That could be your first step. Everybody's first step is a little bit different. For example, my first step in humility was learning that my getting to know you in the company newsletter had been published weeks ago when I was ready to be.
Good for you for taking that first step.
I'm taking the first step towards realizing that I've been mad for like 3 weeks for no reason. Every single time a getting to know you has come out, I don't care whose it's been over the last couple of weeks, I have been bitter like you would not believe. And now I'm learning that my getting to know you was weeks ago when I missed my moment in the sun. I missed my moment for everybody to praise me. And now I feel silly. And let's all thank Donna over at the front desk for doing an A-plus job out there. And also Steve in engineering, because Steve was super helpful today. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back to wrap all this up right after this. Past me gives future me a gift, and Donna just sent me the getting to know you thing that I filled out.
Yeah.
This came out on the 14th of June, and I have been bitter every Monday since then. And so, you know, you go through it and you answer all these funny questions about what brings you joy, and I say my Pomeranian. And your secret talent and all this other stuff. But I just found this at the very bottom. It says, what would you like others to know about you? And me, being a hilarious individual, again, the question is, what would you like others to know about you? And I wrote, I'm more than just a pretty face.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing that.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
See, and then here's the thing is that Donna sent this nice thing, and then Colleen O'Brien from The Morning Show sent this nice email, and now I just feel terrible. I've just been seething in resentment and bitterness for months now.
Aww.
So, which, you know, I'm happy to take the first step towards humility.
And, you know, this is step number one. And step number two is a text message that Shane and I were having a good laugh at the very beginning of the show. This is from 206 when I was talking about homelessness. This kind of text message, Shane, I think you know which one I'm talking about.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about.
This kind of text message is a spicy meatball. And just know that when you send these in, I know you're trying to be mean, but I can't help but laugh and laugh and laugh. And Shane and I take screenshots and we send emojis back and forth to each other. This made my night. I have to read this. 206. It says, and keep in mind, I'm talking about homeless people. I'm talking about how I would deal with the homeless problem. 206 says, of course, Jack Stein told us how he's a vigorous weightlifter and works out 7 days a week. And I hope he is. I hope he's got a body of a Greek god and the face to go with it and is just the perfect specimen. It fits his narcissistic personality. He should be shot in that good-looking face of his.
It's so bad.
It's so good, isn't it? But he really, it says he's really probably a small little weasel with a flabby weasel that works out once a week but smells so bad. I don't know what kind of girl would actually put up with that narcissistic, conceited personality. I love these. I love them so much. They're so good, Lisa. That kind of, the level of thought that went into that.
It took a lot. It was well done.
It's so good. Yeah, and man, so I don't actually weightlift. I run first and foremost, but I will say this, I do smell terrible. That's a thing that I've been trying to work on, and Dr. Z and I've been trying to figure it out. I think it's because I'm just brimming with testosterone at all times.
Oh, man.
So let's get a little testosterone-y. Shane Peterson, what's on your mind, boss?
So last night while I was kind of hanging out and looking on my phone, I had a great moment happen. And this is one that I think a lot of people are experiencing. They're seeing some of their favorite bands go back on tour and them coming to some of their cities. So one of my favorite bands is a band called Turnstile. They're a rock band. They're from the East Coast. And they announced that they're going to be at the WAMU Theater on November 3rd. But there's two other people headlining in front of them, which, Jack, are not rock artists.
Yeah.
Which I'm a little bit concerned about because I'm going to kind of be concerned for my safety. You're familiar with the rapper Chief Keef, correct?
Oh, yeah. Well, I would never go to a Chief Keef show. I would never go to a Chief Keef show a day in my life.
Yeah. For anybody who doesn't know who Chief Keef is, he's a rapper from Chicago, and he's basically credited for finding this genre called grind rap music.
Yeah.
It's very violent and very gang-oriented. He was put on probation for shooting at police when he was, like, 14 years old. The dude's nuts, and he's going to be one of the performers with one of my favorite bands. And I'm kind of, part of me is like, you know what? I kind of want to go see how crazy this gets. But the other part of me is like, yeah, I don't know if I really want to go check that crowd out. I think I'm good. I'll just take the day.
Shane, I would skip it because the show is likely going to get shut down before you even get to see the band that you want to see. If I remember correctly, he was doing a show in Chicago, and he was doing it virtually. So they had a live stream of him in the basement somewhere that they were then projecting out to thousands of people. And just the image of the man projected on a stage in a live stream resulted in people fighting, and they had to shut the venue down, I think, within 15 minutes.
Yeah, doesn't surprise me. But, yeah, that's what I'm kind of looking forward to, is to seeing if I'm going to go to the show or not, because I want to go so bad because I love my favorite bands. But, you know, sometimes they like to go on tour with some sketchier artists.
Why would they mix those two together? It seems like mixing
that's
genres.
It is a kind of a weird mixture of genres. But for some reason right now in like the harder rock community, there's this weird crossover between underground rock and underground rap that's kind of creating this weird common ground. And they're trying to mix it up a little bit. So my favorite band, Turnstile, they don't even make music like that. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting. But that's all that's on my mind.
Lisa Brooks, what's on your mind tonight?
Oh, you know, it's mostly election results for me. So
yeah.
I'm just counting and looking through and seeing what we've got. And go good, space guy.
Yeah, go good, space guy. I'm actually looking at the election results as well. And I'm trying to think to myself, you know, how can we properly decipher this? But I think we're going to have to wait for tomorrow. I think I'm going to have to just steal Dory Monson's take on this. I think I'll just listen to Dory's show and take however he feels about it. What's on my mind tonight? A good laugh can cure many things. And I think that most people need to think about that, is being able to laugh at stuff in many ways takes the it takes the edge off of something. And I want to thank Shane Peterson and Lisa Brooks for always be willing to have a good laugh on this show, even when things get a little weird from time to time. Wow, thanks, Jack. Thanks for that.
Oh, you're welcome. I thought that was it.
Thanks, Jack.
I thought that was it.
Wow. Thanks, you
thanks
guys.
For the warm embrace.
Yeah, no, we appreciate that.
You know, you guys, I just thought I would, you know, toss to you really quick before we, so you could thank me. But
thank you,
I guess for nobody else but myself. For Shane Peterson and Lisa Brooks, I wish everybody a very good night. We'll be back tomorrow. Goodbye.